Hello, welcome to Thoughts from the Psalms, a series of meditations from the great hymn book of the Bible. I'm David Friary. Psalms 113 to 118, known as the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. Psalm 117, The God of the Nations. Some while ago I had to preach on Psalm 117 in church, and sermons normally last about 25 to 30 minutes. I looked at it, just two verses, the shortest psalm and indeed the shortest chapter in the Bible. My reaction was despair. How would I find enough to say on such a short psalm? Now I have to admit, to my shame, how unfamiliar I was with this Psalm 117, even though I have read it many times in my life. It's so short that it's easy to gloss over it as just a little praise psalm offered to God. But now that I have studied it in more detail, I have found so much in these two verses. Admittedly, some Bible commentators are very short in the amount that they have written on it, yet Martin Luther dedicated 36 whole pages to it.
Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Psalm 117 is the fifth of the six so-called Egyptian Hallel Psalms in the Book of Psalms, that's Psalms 113 to 118, which we are looking at together through this series. You may recall that Hallel means praise, and that they are called the Egyptian Hallel quite simply because this group of six psalms is traditionally used at every Passover celebration. They celebrate the Israelites' liberation from the slavery of Egypt. So far as we have looked at it, we've seen in Psalm 113 the God of creation, 114 the God of the Exodus, 115 the God of other gods, and Psalm 116 the God of life over death. It's been pointed out that Psalm 117 could be viewed as a praise interlude in the series, but as it is a call to all nations and all peoples to praise, I will use the title The God of the Nations. As with all the other psalms in this series, we will look at it over two programs. Yes, there really is plenty to talk about in this psalm. Yes, indeed, it is a psalm about praise, as indeed are many of the psalms. In fact, the psalms are the hymn book of the Bible and provide a central element in our worship of God. We are, as God's people, to be a worshipping and praising community. Indeed, Warren Wiersbe expresses the importance of our worship and praise when he states in the context of this psalm that worship and praise are the highest occupations to which we can dedicate our voices, the activities that will occupy us for all eternity. So do you realise that what we are doing as we gather for our worship services in church is a foretaste of that which is to come in a higher and more perfect way when we reach heaven? In the lead up to the Queen's funeral, all those involved were busy rehearsing their parts so that the whole ceremonial state occasion would go off without a hitch. But when we worship and praise God, it is much more than just a mere rehearsal for the real thing in heaven. It's the real thing right now, as well as being a foretaste of the greater thing to come. So as we turn to Psalm 117, I have four parts. Firstly, the subject of praise is God. This point is a short one, yet it is essential to the other points which will follow. To say that the subject of our praise is God might seem an obvious statement. The psalm both begins and ends with the exhortation to praise the Lord. God should be at the centre of all we think, say and do. But is he? I'm not meaning that we spend every moment of every day praying to him and thinking of him, but our habitual walk with him through the times we spend with him should so influence everything we do that our whole demeanour, our whole behaviour, our whole life should be so lived for him that this will in itself be a witness to others. A right attitude and focus to our praise is an essential attitude to the Christian life. A couple of dangers come to mind though. The centre of our praise and worship could become our church, even ourselves, as we bask in the warmth directed by others towards ourselves for some good thing they see in us. And then there are those Christians who, however well-intentioned, direct some of their praise away from God towards other religious figures, and thus their praise of God becomes diluted. And my second point is this: the extent of praise is to all peoples. In the psalm, we need to note who exactly is being called on to praise God. We would expect, particularly as we are in the Old Testament, that the call is to God's own special people, the Jews, and indeed it is. But that is in fact only the tip of the iceberg, for the call is made in verse 1 to all nations and all peoples. Our God is the God of the nations. There is indeed a largeness in the heart of God that he intended Israel to have from the beginning. Back in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, where God said to the serpent, the devil, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Here we find the proto-evangelium, the first inkling of God's plan of salvation. The verse introduces two elements previously unknown in the Garden of Eden, elements that are the basis of Christianity: the curse on mankind because of Adam's sin, and God's provision of a saviour from sin who would take the curse upon himself. Note that this was a statement made even before God had established his special nation under Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Then in Genesis chapter 12 verse 3, when God selected Abraham to be the father of a great nation, he made it clear that in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now it's true that, for the most part, the Jews looked with little sympathy on their Gentile neighbours and had no desire that they should praise Jehovah unless they first converted to Judaism. Yet God determined that whilst the Jewish people were supposed to be separated from the Gentiles, they were not intended to be isolated from them. If they remained isolated, how could the promise to Abraham come about? It was not so much that in the Old Testament they went out to actively convert the nations, but rather that the nations should see that what Israel was celebrating was so good that they should wish it for themselves. God's plan was to use the Jews to bless other nations, even though they were so reluctant to do so. Throughout the pages of the Old Testament, there are various references to the ingathering of the nations, but they are not so frequent or direct as in the New Testament. But everything was pointing forward to the coming of one man, the God-man Jesus Christ. Jesus would have sung Psalm 117 on Passover night, the night on which he was betrayed and so began his journey to the cross. We know therefore that on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus had all the nations of the world in mind. Through the victory of his cross and resurrection, Jesus would call a people to himself from every tribe and people and language and nation. We can indeed say therefore that this short psalm is a messianic psalm and shows that God always had in store blessing for the Gentiles. Psalm 117 is therefore also a strong missionary psalm. How would it be possible to expect the Gentiles to praise God if they were not able to hear and receive the gospel message? Yet are we at sometimes guilty of looking down on certain groups of people, just as many Jews were proud of being God's chosen people and looked down on others? This missionary psalm extends the call to us still today as Christians, now one with Jewish believers, to continue the spreading of the gospel. This is the great commission that Jesus left to his followers just before his bodily return up to heaven, that they should go into all the world and preach the gospel. For most of us, the great commission means to reach out to those around us with whom we come into regular contact. But it is also a call to some to go to the remotest ends of the earth, often in difficult circumstances, to further spread the word, and for those of us back on the home front to support them in prayer and in giving as we are able. So you see, Psalm 117 is also written for us and is relevant for us today. God has blessed us that we might pass that blessing on to others, and that then they too might continue to pass it on person to person. Are you helping the people to the world to learn about Jesus? So we've seen that the subject of praise is God, and that the extent of praise is all people's. Next time we will see that the reason for praise is twofold, and that the duration of praise is eternal.
Jesus, hope of the nation. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life.
Join me next time as we continue to study Psalm 117 together. If you wish to discuss anything in this programme with me, David Friary, please contact me via our studio. Please join us next time for further thoughts from the Psalms.